Proverbs 3, and we want to look at verse number 5. How many of you are there? Proverbs 3 and verse number 5. Here's the word of the Lord today. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lay your hand there on the text. Now, Lord, it is time that you would speak to me, through me, as a vessel to these, your precious sheep, who you love and care for. I'm asking that the scales of their eyes would become enlightened through the word today, that their spiritual understanding and revelation that will be released today from this pulpit would be released to them, that you will bring clarity, that you will bring insight, that you would bring application to what we need to hear today. We lock in and focus in because there is something specific that you want to say on this Sunday, and we give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Tell as many people as you can, I'm learning to be spirit-led. Come on, tell them, I'm learning to be spirit-led. I'm learning to be spirit-led. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Before I begin to give you a few things, I want to read a couple of things to you just to give you some natural things before I give you a couple of scriptures and talk about how we can be spirit-led, and we must learn to be spirit-led. This is a discipline that many people do not have. And this is one of the number one reasons why there's a lack of joy and success in many people's lives. And I want to give this to you as many ways as I can. And I'm praying, and I want you to pray with me that God will give me the utterance I need to get through to as many of you as possible, because I want you to see the rewards and benefits of you being a spirit-led believer. Now, let me give you this, as I said on last week about thinking right, mind over matter. So it says in this article that I was reading that you cannot control the events or circumstances of your life, but you can control what you react to. And they began to do some studies about this, and they said that there are about 75 to 98% of mental and physical illnesses, they come from one's thought life. 75 to 85% of the mental illness, catch this, and physical illnesses comes from the thought life. Now that's profound. That sickness does not necessarily begin airborne, but it begins in the mind. These statistics and studies say that the American Medical Association found out that stress is a factor in the 75% of the illnesses and diseases that people suffer from today. It also says the association between stress and disease is a colossal 85%. It also says that the International Agency of Research on Cancer, I want you to focus in on this, on cancer, says that 80% of all cancers are due to lifestyle and not genetics. Lifestyle, not genetics. So if these stats and statistics are true, then people that are sick or have cancer or whatever, this is not something in the DNA so much as it is stress and how we deal with it. And how many of you know stress is all around, but it doesn't have to get inside? Let me just give you this. It says, or this means that the vast majority of the world's population comes into the world, catch this, with the genes that should be, or that should enable them to live a happy and healthy life. So it says that we have all the genes necessary that will help us to have a happy and a healthy life. I don't know about you, this sounds like God. Because the day that he breathed in man and man became a living soul, he breathed into him. Man was dead and he breathed into him and man became not just a living soul, but man had everything he needed to be happy and healthy. That breath of God was not oxygen as we know it. It was life. It was Zoe. It was the life principle. It was the principle by which Jesus Christ lived his life. Now, if you and I have been breathed into the nostrils and everything that we have came from him, then we shouldn't be struggling at all. Because we got built inside of us everything that is necessary to live a life of joy and peace. So here's the question then. Why are so many people not living the abundant life? Why are so many people not living the life that God himself breathed in? How many of you know God didn't make any mistakes when he created you and I? How many of you know that we are supposed to be here because God wanted me here? If that's the case, and it is, we need to get back to some principles to help us to be more spirit-led. And spirit-led means that God leads me into a path that is right, that releases more of his peace, more of his joy, more of his sustenance. And we've got to get on that path. Can somebody say amen? Now, let me read again Proverbs 3 and 5, and I want to break this down and take it a little bit slower than what I did. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So when God says not to do something, we shouldn't do it. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understandings. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Notice, you don't trust God with your head, you trust him with your heart. That's the first thing I want to tell you. If you're going to trust God and not be a casualty of so many that are sick, diseased, and poor, you've got to train your mind to trust in the Lord with everything. And you don't trust him with your head, you trust him with your heart. You don't trust God with your mind. You think through your mind, but you trust him with your heart. And there are going to be times where it's going to be compromised, where you would rather lean to what you see, lean to what you hear, lean to your feelings. But you have got to tell your feelings how to feel. We're not going to feel this way today. We're going to do what? Trust in the Lord with our heart. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to give you another part of this. Because with this, he distinguishes between the spirit that's in the world and the spirit that many people have today. And this is one of the reasons, I believe, why there are so many people sick. Because they've got the wrong spirit. They got the wrong spirit. They got the wrong mindset. So in Romans chapter 8, we're going to start here at verse number 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice it says, for as many as are led, or as many that are willing to be led. Which means that everybody is not willing to be led by the Spirit. But if you are willing to be led by the Spirit, he classifies you in a different place than everybody else in the world. He says they are the sons of God. For those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So the sons of God, catch this, should be led by the Spirit. The mark of a Christian, if one says he's a Christian or Christ-like, what do we look like? Or what marks that person? An individual that is led by the Spirit. What marks you is not baptism.
What marks you is not necessarily being filled with the Holy Ghost. All of those things are necessary. But after I give my life to Christ, after I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, what is the next step? I've got to be led by the Spirit. So the way that I led my life before salvation, after I get saved, the way that I show God and others around me that I got it is that I am led by His Spirit. And we got a lot of people say that they're Christians, but they're not led by the Spirit of God. They're led by their flesh. If you are led by your flesh, how many of you know your flesh will take you on a road that you're not ready for? How many can say that? I've been led by my flesh, and He has taken me places I did not want to be. Verse 15, notice what it says. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So fear puts you in bondage. You might want to write that down. Fear puts you in bondage. There is no greater bondage than fear, because fear will put you in bondage. Anything that you are afraid of, you are bound by. And it'll put you there. You can, watch this. There are people that are in jail that are more free than people that are walking around. Because freedom has nothing to do with chains. Freedom has everything to do with what you are bound by. And He said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, so fear has a spirit. And anytime fear enters in, it tells you that you can't. You won't. And we have to break the spirit of fear. So it says, you have not received the spirit of fear of bondage, or you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But notice what it says. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Catch this. I have a daddy. Even if I can't locate my natural one, I have a father, and I'm able to cry, Abba, Father. Notice where it says, our Father who art in heaven. So He's not everybody's daddy, but He's our Father. All right? Notice verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself, some translations say Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So watch this. How do I know I'm a child of God? How can I prove or walk out I'm a child of God? Well, according to Scripture, there's nothing in this terra firma that would tell me that. The Bible says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, so it indicates that there's the Spirit and a Spirit in me. So there has to be, don't miss this, not necessarily two spirits per se, but we know that we are spirit, soul, and body. And we know that the Holy Spirit lives in our human spirit. So the only way that I can know I'm a child of God, I need the big He to tell the little He that I'm a child of God. There's no other way. There's no feeling of salvation. So people that are looking for, I don't feel saved. Well, neither did I when I got up in the morning. There is no feeling from January to December of this year that's going to tell you that you're saved. I don't care what kind of stuff is going on around you. I don't care what anybody else is saying. I don't care who died this year. I'm telling you that you cannot look at anything outside of you to tell you that you are a child of God. You need the Holy Ghost to tell your spirit that you are a child of God. You got many people that are in the body of Christ today. They have this spirit of rejection because they don't know who loves them. They don't know who cares for them. This tells me that the Holy Spirit didn't tell you. He's got to tell you who you are. Nobody can tell you who you are but the one that created you. Y'all with me? I got a little more to give you. So watch this. God communicates with you through your spirit. You might want to write that down. If you're going to live a spirit-led life, God says right now and moving forward, I need to communicate to you spirit to spirit. When it's time for me to tell you what moves to make, I am not asking you to look outside of you. I'm asking you to connect at a stronger frequency so you can hear what it is that I'm saying to your spirit. One of the reasons why we lack direction is because we're not connected. And when you're not connected, how many of you know you can't hear right? But the person that needs to connect is not God. He's the tower. The person that needs to connect is the person that needs to hear from the tower. So God don't need to move. You need to move closer to the tower, to the connection. You say, well, I don't hear God like I used to. You watch this. Then you need to move. He's not moving. And he's not going to ask you to move from here, because people say, you know, I just need to move to Dallas, or I just need to move to Chicago. I just need to move to Atlanta. It's better over there. No, you need in the spirit to move to the connection. Because God can bless you in Raleigh like he can bless you in Alaska. So people that pick up and leave, I'm not saying you shouldn't leave and go, but did the spirit lead you, or did the job lead you? I always ask people, what's leading you? Where did you get that indication from? Because if God is speaking to your spirit, he's not using anything other than his spirit. Because that says his spirit ain't good enough to tell me where I need to go. I need to get another sign. I need somebody else to tell me. No, that's the flesh. And I'm saying to you today, somebody say today. Somebody say it again today. Your life will substantially change right now if you just get connected to his spirit closer. The old saints used to say, just a closer walk with thee. The greatest hindrance to your walk with God is when you stop walking with him. The moment you stop walking with him, your connection is not going to be right. When I was a little kid, we used to have walkie-talkies. How many of y'all remember walkie-talkies? You used to have walkie-talkies. Those was before the cell phones. But you had to be what? On the right channel, the right frequency. And all four of my friends, we had them. We would just be playing these little games. But one thing about the walkie-talkie, you could not be on one side of town and the other side of town and hear your friend. You was too far away because the signal was not that strong. So as long as we were somewhere around the house or somewhere around close in the neighborhood, we could hear one another. But I had a friend of mine where when we wanted to just talk privately and not let everybody else know what we were going to do, we say, switch to channel 5. When we switched to channel 5, we could get in a conversation that the other two couldn't get into. And we didn't just say it over the walkie-talkie. We had a little signal, a little hand gesture to tell them we need to switch to another channel. It's the same thing in the spirit, people of God. When the enemy is coming against you, you need to shift the channel and hear what God is saying to you. And he will never say run. He will never tell you not to deal with it. Because that's fear. And this is how I know when people are moving in fear, they run. They don't want to deal with the problem. They don't want to deal with the issue. They don't want to deal with what's going on. Because the Holy Ghost is a communicator. So how come you not? You want everybody else to read your mind. I didn't know you was upset. How come you didn't communicate? We are, watch this. Even though we are hooked up in the spirit, the Holy Ghost revealed his word in his Bible. We still got to read what he was thinking. And I got to tell you what he's thinking. How do I know what we're feeling or what we're sensing unless we talk? There still has to be a voice that will come. The whole basis of communication is somebody got to say something. But only, it seems like this. Only in church do we expect people to read somebody's mind. And God is saying, that's not a mature church. That's a fleshly church. And I'm saying to you, beloved, that this year, you need to demand this of yourself. I am only going to be spirit-led. And I ain't going to wait for somebody to figure out if I'm mad. I, you know what? There was a better way you could handle that. Because when we don't do that, we suppress it. And then when the valve breaks, it all come out. You start talking about things from 10 years ago. You've been holding that down for 10 years? Just look at somebody and say, you need to learn how to communicate differently this year. This is a different level of communication that the world knows nothing about. Can I give you a little bit more? So if you're going to learn to hear from God, you got to make up in your mind today, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to only be spirit led. I know I asked you to say it, but I want you to say it again. Say, I'm only going to be a spirit led believer. Anything else is bondage. You got to make a major change in your life if you haven't done this. Because this is a discipline. So if you've been led by your flesh and now you got to be led now by your spirit, this is going to be not necessarily a problem. It's going to be a challenge for you now to do something you have never done. Because when we make decisions many times, we make decisions based upon what this one or that one or what the elements are saying or this. And God is saying, this is not how I talk to you. I do not talk to you through a sunrise. I do not talk to you through a sunset. I don't need to talk to you through animals or through a sea. No, I talk to you spirit to spirit. Do you remember when God would come down through the cool of the day and talk to Adam? He was communicating with him through his spirit. Why? Because God is a spirit. Surely he could have revealed himself with flesh and bone body, but the same spirit that breathed into Adam was enough to connect him, to talk to him. And when you need to talk to God, you got to get close to the signal. Can I give you a little bit more? So catch this. If, in fact, we need to be led by his spirit, then we know that there are other ways we can be led. And you might want to write this down. Here's a couple ways you can be led other than by the spirit. Head led. Intellect. For some people, their intellect leads them. They're knowledgeable, they've been to college, they've got this going, they got that going, and if it doesn't make sense between their ears, it cannot possibly be God. They're head led. Number two, fear led. Remember we said fear is a real and strong spirit and emotion, because you can feel so strong and be so wrong at the same time. So this is what I want you to begin to practice. We don't feel God, we sense him. Did you get that? We don't feel him, we sense him. How do we sense him? In our spirit. Because he's not flesh and bone, but blood, body. So I'm sensing God, not feeling God. I'm sensing him. And watch this. Fear is sensory driven. It appears through your senses. If I see a dog I'm afraid of, I saw the dog, and that's what birthed the fear. If I heard about a tornado, I heard about it, and I feel fear. If my bank account gets below $200 and I'm used to it being above $200, I looked at my bank account and I felt fear, and then I begin to withdraw and not obey God. But you got to move beyond that. You got to move beyond what you see, beyond what you hear, and beyond what you can touch. And you got to know, even if it don't look right, if the fear is so strong, I got to know that this is not coming from God. This is coming from outside of me. Are you getting anything today? Another one is opportunity led. There's an opportunity across the street for me to change positions. It seems right. Everything is good. My boss told me it's an opportunity. There are a lot of people that are driven by opportunities. Notice, isn't it something how opportunities come to you when things get tight? Sometimes opportunities generally don't come when everything is good. This is how you know opportunities many times are driven by the enemy to get us out of being spirit-led into being opportunity-led. That doesn't mean that God cannot bring you an opportunity, but you need to take that opportunity and bring it to God and say, is this of you? Because you do know the devil is out here too. I'm going to say that again. You do know that the enemy is out here too. Opportunity led. It's a good opportunity. It's a good opportunity. Every good opportunity ain't God. So stop saying that. But God wouldn't have sent this to me. No, you need to understand you do have an adversary. The Bible calls him the devil, the accuser. Number four, some of us that are married are spouse led. I'm led by my spouse, whatever they want. I just love her so much. I just want to give her the world. I just love him so much. I want to give him the world. You better be careful about that. Because one thing that spouses are good at without taking any classes, without going to school, they know how to pull on their husband or wife's heart. I know what I can say to him. I know what I can do to her. I know the words to say. You better be careful. Watch this. Because your spouse, God love him, my wife, hallelujah, praise Jesus, but the adversary can get in them. You're quiet today. The adversary can get in them and begin to use them to manipulate and get what you want and get what they want. Don't be spouse led. Always be in a position to ask the right question. Where is this coming from? We're afraid to ask questions. But if you don't ask any questions, you're not going to really know. See, questions help you to pull out of somebody, pull out of them what's in their heart. Somebody's going to ask you a couple of questions to find out what's in your heart. With that said, some of us are kid-led. Whatever our children want, whatever they desire, blah, 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 blah. But we have to train our children in the way that they should go. There has to be times where you say, no, you cannot have that. There has to be, no, it's not going to be that way. You can love your, this is how you know you love your kids. You love them enough to discipline them. And you got to love your children enough to say that if you're in this house and I'm paying the bills here, then this is the way that it's going to be. You don't have to like it. You don't have to cheer for it, because one day you're going to have your own house. And then you can run it however you want to run it. But as for me and my house, what are we going to do? Wow. Okay, well, then move out. The baby, you'll be back by sundown. You'll be back. Kids think they tough until you put them out. You ain't so tough now. Some of us are family-led, money-led, angry-led. Led by our anger. Whatever we feel, we mad. We just, however our emotions take us, that's what it is. You cannot be led by that. We got to put our emotions in check. Stop going from zero to 100. Get your emotions in place. Get your heart in place. Notice, a strong feeling doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it God. Being emotionally led. And when you become led by any of these things, that doesn't mean you're led by the Spirit. You give the enemy an opportunity to deceive you. Being Spirit-led is a discipline. Say it's a discipline. And Jesus operated in it in perfection. In perfection, he did. Let me give you a little bit more. There are a lot of things that will lead you, because the devil is a pusher. And he uses fear and intimidation to get you to act irrational. He keeps pushing you. You know you better do something. You know you better make a decision. You know it's 2 more weeks. You better do it now. And then if he can't talk it through your mind, he'll use your spouse to say it to you. or your children to say it to you, or people at the job to say it to you. But what is God saying? Just because somebody offer you good advice, don't mistake that for them speaking on God's behalf. I'm not saying that God cannot use somebody else, but I'm saying the number one way he wants to talk to you is through your spirit. Don't miss this. He will never, watch this, these other outside voices will never get an opportunity to compete with God if you don't go to them first. I said something real strong there. We go to people first and don't go to God. And now when we go to God, they don't sound like what somebody else said. Now we in conflict. But if you didn't, what did the scripture say? In all thy ways do what? What am I acknowledging? He know more than my spouse. He know more, and he wants to talk to you. Tell somebody, God want to talk to you. Let me give you a little bit more. The enemy is always trying to prepare a trap for you, but he can't just impose it. He has to lead you in it. He can set up the trap, but he can't put you in it. He uses fear or some other bad choice to get you to make a decision and then get you right in there for what he set up for you. Watch this. Y'all ain't gonna be honest, but have you ever been somewhere and you had a negative thought come across your head that you knew wasn't God? Watch this. You like, where's this thought coming from? I'm saved, Regina. I love God. Why would I be at the top of a hotel enjoying it and I hear something say, jump? I ain't suicidal. But the devil is like, yes, you are. You are suicidal. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You want to jump. That thought didn't even cross your mind until you got somewhere and then the thought came. But here's my question to you. How come he didn't cause you to jump? If he had the power, y'all ain't hearing me today, he would have pushed you off. This is why you cannot die before your time. You know, people say, when your time is up, that's not true. That's not the Bible. See, you got to stop believing this stuff that just people just be saying. You can stay here as long as you and God got an agreement about your purpose. Cancer can't take you out. It'll only take you out if you let it. We allow other voices to dictate how we're supposed to live. That's not being led by the Spirit. This is why Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. They was tripping. Then he said, he sleep. Y'all ain't catching it. But I'm going to wait. Here's why. Because I know I have power over death. I could have chosen to wait 2 weeks. I didn't have to come then. I just chose to come then. He could have immediately dropped everything he was doing. Because when you in fear and you know you don't have power over something, you better do it now. Because see, they sick, they need me now. And you know how family get. You ain't show up. You knew Uncle Nelly was sick. See how people push you? That's the devil pushing. Because you better do something. Because I got to prove my love to you. I got to prove I'm just going to be by your bedside. All of us, let's be honest, we have been controlled by family. Nobody said you can't go. I'm asking you, did you talk to God and see if he's leading you to do this? So he get to, I ain't going to get into that story. Stay with the pastor. Watch this. But if you refuse to only be spirit led, then the enemy can't get you off the path. If you say today, I am only going to be spirit led, and this is going to be a problem for people in your life, because now you're changing how you're doing stuff. This is why it takes toughness to be able to do this. Nobody said you got to be mean, you got to be nasty. You just got to say, you know what, I'm going to be spirit-led this year. Because when I do that, I will find that my joy will find me. My peace, I ain't got to find, it'll find me. Because it's always connected to the Spirit. So if you're not in the Spirit, your joy is not there. If you're not in the Spirit, your peace is not there. Your energy is not there. I don't have the energy I used to have. My question to you, are you in the Spirit with God? Because everything, we always say God's got everything we need, but we still lacking something. If the Holy Ghost is everything I need, he's got to be my greater partner. So I can get some things done. Can somebody say amen? Can I give you a little bit more? This requires help from the Holy Ghost. The problem is we don't know what's leading us. You know, relationships change and people change. We're trying to figure out, well, what's wrong with them? What happened to them? How come we're not? We used to be here, but we ain't here no more. And I don't know why we not here, but something has happened while we're not here. I'm about to help you in a moment. But let me give you this example, because I want to show you how that there have been times where we have may have said this or heard other people say it, and we've got to correct this language. For example, Lord, if this is the right job, open the door. It's the right job. It's the right job you want me to have. Open the door. I need you to open this door, Lord. If this is the right job, I need them to call me in 2 weeks. Lord, if this person is the right person I need to be with, spouse, or I'm thinking about getting married, if this is the right person, let them open the door for me. Let them do some things. I guess this I've been talking to you about in prayer. Well, what if they don't? Does that mean that's not God? So if the door don't open, then you're looking, you need to see something to tell you that that's the will of God for your life. If the door don't open, that don't mean it's not God. But we want something outside of us to lead us other than the Spirit of God. And he never said that I would use something externally. He said, I'm going to use my Spirit to lead you. He said the Spirit himself confirms or tells me that I'm a child of God. You know what they call that? Throwing out a fleece. That's what Gideon did. But see, that's Old Testament. Gideon didn't have the Holy Ghost. Gideon didn't have the Holy Ghost, but you do. And you got to live it inside of you. So if you've been saying to God, Lord, if this is the right one, open up the door. You got to stop that. But why? Because you, watch this. You need something physical to see. Lord, if this is the church for me, let the pastor call me out. Let them preach the right word. Let them sing the right song. But what if the song never comes? And I can guarantee you, 99.9, this is my opinion, 99.9999% of people today walk like this. I'm talking about Christian folk who throwing out fleeces. They flipping coins. They're doing all kind of stuff other than being connected to the Spirit. So if God says this is your job, I don't care if they don't call you back. You keep going because you know that this is what God said. Because if you got to be led by an open door, if you got to be led by a phone call, I'm telling you now, you are not being led by the Spirit. Nobody didn't say that you can't use your mind. Because yes, you need to use your mind, you need to think. But the end result cannot be the data you gathered. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Because we'll go get data. We'll go get information. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But that cannot be more powerful than how the Spirit is leading you. You can get all the data. You can get all this stuff. And the Spirit of God says, this is where you need to be. This is your job. And how many of you know that if the Holy Spirit is leading you, that door gonna come open? It'll come open. You just need to be patient. But this is how I know that people are confused, because I need to see a sign, Lord. Show me something. You deny the fact that the devil can show you something too. He can. Watch this. He ain't everywhere. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. But watch this. He hears what you say. And he will manipulate things and cause a trap to happen for you and get you to walk right in it. Go to Matthew chapter 4. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil. You mean, watch this now. The Spirit led him up, but it didn't tempt him. So let's not get this confused, which means that the Spirit of God can lead you into places to develop you and help you to become what God wants you to be. But don't mistake the tempting of the enemy for God. People do that all the time. Notice, and when, verse 2, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, why didn't the tempter come to him prior to the fast? See how the devil don't play fair? He waits till you get at your weakest, most vulnerable point physically, and then he comes to tempt you. Then he comes. This is how you need to discern things. It amazes me how people can know they're in the right place at the right time with the right person, and then here the enemy is tempting, but they don't have any discernment to detect and pick up that this is the devil. So they mistake and they call it God, or they say, well, God not with me, God don't love me. No, 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 no. Jesus was led by the Spirit, but the devil was tempting him. He was at his weakest point. Watch this. Notice what he said. If thou be the Son of God. Every time you hear that word, if, you know it's the enemy. If God loved you, you wouldn't be going through. If God really cared about you, he really loved you, you know the pastor would have called you by now. See the stuff we entertain? If you are the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. You know why? Because I know you hungry. Now, if it wasn't hungry, if it was something else, he would have tempted him with something else. But because he was hungry. Do you see the connection? So when you're being tempted by the enemy, he always tempts you to do something to pull you out of something. Connected to where you are sacrificing and obeying God. Y'all get it? Stay with me. Notice what Jesus said. But he answered and said, it's written. He took him right to the word of God. Man shall not live by just bread. Catch this. Jesus is saying, I don't just get my daily sustenance from bread because I'm spirit led. I get my power from the Spirit, not from eating a bologna sandwich. So he rebuked the devil immediately. So if you think you're going to get me with bread, you don't know who I am. You're not going to get me with a meal. I'm spirit led. So you're not just going to cause me now to doubt if I'm the Son of God just because I'm at my weakest point. When you're at your weakest point, that's when you need to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, the enemy will cause you to acquiesce to what he said, and then he'll get you out of the grace of God trying to prove what you already are. Hope y'all hear what I'm saying today. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God is leading me and sustaining me. You are sustained, ladies and gentlemen, whether or not you know it, through the word that's coming out of his mouth. And you're not sustained when you're not connected and you can't hear. This is why you must, on a daily basis, be getting your daily dose of some word. How you being sustained? So you mean to tell me if it was good for Jesus, it ain't good for you? This is why we have these emotional highs and lows when things in our life are not the way we thought they were going to be. We're not listening to God. Because if you're listening to God, he's going to always tell you something different than your experience. God is not your experience. You experience things through the Spirit. But he can manifest your, he can manifest what he's doing in your life so others can see it. Somebody say amen. I just got a few more things to give you. I want you to go to John chapter 3. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. This is where I'm going to stop. John chapter 3. On your way to John chapter 3, I've been pastoring now almost 14 years. And in my 14 years of pastoring, there have been more than, I don't know, maybe a dozen times or so, maybe more than that, where, because when you say yes to God, and as a pastor and leader, you want to do God's will, and you want to help people, you want to serve people, they begin to think in their mind that you are their servants and not God's. They make a mistake about that. They think because you called of God, you love God, they think they can manipulate you and get you to do what they want you to do and not what God wants you to do. And I've had that happen to me over a period of time where people who come and they have their own set agenda about what they want. And if they don't get it, they'll try to say, well, you know, and people don't say this directly, they say it in action. Where they just won't do nothing. I'm just not going to do it. As if I'm going to switch up and change because you didn't do nothing or because they didn't do anything. You should be grateful that you at least have a pastor who desires to be spirit-led and not controlled. But people don't like that. So what they'll do, they'll take their kickball and go. Because anytime their demands can't be met, well, this just ain't the place no more. And you need to guard yourself about wanting what you want. I'm going to say that again. You need to really guard your heart about wanting what you want. Here's what I tell somebody back then. I said, you know, when God called me, he knew what he was getting when he called me. So he already knew what I was, my idiosyncrasies. He already knew that. And I said, as God and I walk together and as he helps me, he's going to help me grow. He's going to help me do what he's called me to do. I said, he going to help me. He going to help me. Not you telling me how it need to be done. People seem to think that they have some type of, how do I say this? They have some type of responsibility to tell you how you're supposed to go. Nobody has a right who you have not allowed into your life to tell you anything. I'm going to go a little further, including me. My pastoral style is, I'm here if you need me. But I ain't going to kick down my door and pastor you. If you don't want it, I ain't going to be mad about it. But don't say you didn't get it when you didn't ask for it. That's the part that is so wrong. If you don't say what you need and you suffering, you only suffer because you chose to be quiet. It's like we say, Lord, I'm in a burning building. Lord, let me out. The exit right there. Lord, let me out this building. There's another exit. At some point, I got to choose to leave. I got to choose to get out. You got the eyes you can see. But some people don't want it that way. We have to get a hold of this because I've had people that earlier in my pastoring, I was trying to help, and God was like, I ain't helping them right now. And they are robbing hours from your day because I ain't helping them. So don't you help them. But then you like, but that don't make sense, God, because I'm here to help people. But as I grew, I said, I got it. And you got to, in your own life, know when God is not using you to help someone else. You got to know when your season is over for trying to help people get something that they're not getting. And it don't mean that you don't love them. If they ain't hearing God, they ain't going to hear you. You got to know when, what's that song? You got to know when to fold them, hold them, walk away. You got to know. Because if you don't, you will lose your joy, your peace, the grace of God on your life trying to help somebody who just don't want it. You got to be led to help people. Last thing, I'm done. John 3, verse 1. I promise you, John 3, verse 1. Are y'all getting anything today? Can you just say, I'm going to be spirit-led this year? Everybody can be mad, but I'm going to be spirit-led this year. Now, let me say this to you. Whatever is written in the word, you just need to do that. Wait now. Let me say this. If the word say forgive, don't say, I need to be led to forgive you. I just don't feel that. Mm-mm. No, whatever the word says to do, you need to do that. Mm-mm, I don't feel God did. No, That's off. John chapter 3, verse 1. The backdrop of this story is, and you will really appreciate this, at this particular point in Jesus' ministry, what was going on was, is Jesus really the Son of God? Because he's doing things, he's teaching, he's preaching, he's delivering, he's healing, he's doing things. Is he really God? Is he really the Messiah? Because here's, watch this. Here's something that I don't know that we know. Some of us may know this, but if you don't know, this would be new for you. That people did not look at Jesus as the Son of God or the Messiah. They looked at him as a prophet. And you and I, watch this, would have looked at him the same way. He the Messiah. I read, out of the 12, only Peter said that. Everybody else was like, oh, so don't miss this. For some of us, he may not be the Son of God until it's revealed to you who he is. He's just a prophet. He's just a talking head. Until it's revealed to you who he is in you, he's just a man. It's no different than a pastor. Until the Holy Ghost tell you who it is that's talking to you, that's just a talking head. I can take it or not. Notice, John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, a respectable term, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him. First of all, we notice that he was a Pharisee, and we know what the Pharisees thought about Jesus. That was not everybody's commentary. That was just Nicodemus's commentary. We know that you, Son of God, we know that you're a teacher come from God, because nobody can do the stuff that we see you doing. But that's just what Nicodemus is saying. Here's what I want to say. Stop being sucked in by people that are saying nice things about you. Everybody that's with you is not necessarily with you. You need some discernment to know who's with you. And when you know that, you'll stop saying, well, I push for everybody else, and don't nobody push for me. If you know where you are and who you're with, God will reveal to you what's going on in their heart. I'm talking good today. Notice, here's my first question. So what does Nicodemus want to talk about? He come to Jesus by night. Bless you. He come to Jesus by night. Lord, I know, you know, you rabbi, you Rabboni, you're wonderful, you're great. So what does he want to know? He's inquisitive. He wants to know something. Well, what does he want to know? He wants to know, Jesus, are you really the real deal? Now, this is just me. I think he wants some information to take back to the council. Because the council at this particular point in history is very murderous about Jesus. They want to kill him. You got to know when people come to you what their real intentions are. This is where we fail the test. I have many times. Sometimes people can say certain things and they can, you know, they're asking a question, but there's something else behind that that they're not going to reveal. And this is when you need to be locked in and just ask God a question. Lord, what do they really want? See, that takes humility. Because, see, if you don't operate in humility and asking God, you will spill too much. You will say too much. And you will arm your enemy to kill you. Just because you coming don't mean I got to give you everything. Stay with me. Nicodemus knows the council wants to kill Jesus. He knows that they don't care anything about him. He knows that they don't love him. But don't miss this. What did Jesus say to him? Look at verse 3. Now we know, based on what we've read, that he wants to know how Jesus is working his ministry. I want to know how you're doing what you do. Here's what Jesus said. This is wonderful. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Don't miss this. Nicodemus asked Jesus this, and Jesus answered him with that. I want to know how you doing, what you doing, what's your secret sauce for your ribs? And Jesus said, you need to be born again. Because unless you're born again, you can't even understand what I'm doing. Why? Because Jesus was not led by people's questions. I'm led by the Spirit, and I know why you coming to me. But most of us don't even know why people coming. So they just start saying, sharing, blah, blah, blah. So watch this. He don't even know, Nicodemus don't even know that there is a born again experience. So why would he even ask that question when he don't even know? So Jesus now has shifted the conversation. We right where we need to be, talking about the subject we need to be talking about, and now I can help you. You come in wanting to know something about me, I'm telling you what you need to do. I don't know if y'all hearing what I'm saying to you. You come to me with this, I'm coming with you with that. Watch this. Because Jesus knew there was something good about Nicodemus. He had some good qualities about his life. And if you keep reading about Nicodemus, you'll find him with Joseph Arimathea when it came time to bury Jesus. Who was there? Nicodemus. Out of all the Pharisees, Nicodemus was there. So here's what Jesus said. You know what? You need to be born again. Because in just a few days, the born again experience is coming to your town. And I want you to be in on it and see the wonderful things that are going to happen in the book of Acts. And I'm telling you now what you're not, so you can get ready to receive what you need to have. And if you get that, you'll know the power by which I do. Look how Jesus just shifted the conversation. You got to know how to shift the conversation when you're talking to people. I've had people come to me and ask me things, and the Lord will just say to me, just tell them this. Watch this. I'm about to say, you don't have to answer just because they're asking a question. I just don't want to be disrespectful. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You got to be able to smoke your enemy out. You know, they got statistics that say why gunmen shoot up churches. Do you know why they said gunmen shoot up churches? They said because church folk are stupid. They ain't smart. They gullible. Ain't nobody watching. Ain't nobody praying. Somebody got to be in the spirit. Something ain't right with this. Whatever happened to the Holy Ghost? We ain't got to have no armed guards around here. Somebody got to be able to say, I'm sensing something ain't right. You mean tell me out of all the killings, nobody sensed that something was wrong? I got a problem with that. And this is why gunmen shoot up churches. Because right before they kill you, you will invite them in, have dinner with them. I'm not saying we can't be, what am I saying, Lord? Help me get this right. Because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying be mean to everybody in the door. I'm saying watch as well as pray. Come on, doorkeepers. Watch as well as pray. You see somebody coming in, something ain't right, watch them. They say, watch as well as pray. Not, Lord, do something. No, open up your eyes. I'm watching you. Because in case something go down, watch this, I can shut it down in the spirit. Because that's a spirit of murder coming in the house. I ought to be able to shut it down with the spirit that's in me. Because the higher spirit controls the lower spirit. See, we don't know who we are. I'm not saying, watch this. I have talked to pastors. We've talked about this ad nauseum. I have not made a move because I just don't feel led to do it right now. But it is in my mind where you want to protect those in the house, the women, the children, and we know this is going on and all. Do we need to hire a sheriff? Do we need to have people here with guns? What do we need to do? Because fear is pushing this. So I got to know in me when fear is causing me to do something I wouldn't normally do. So if it's that, I know it ain't God. I don't need to make a move on it. I ain't making no moves on this because I'm afraid. God ain't giving me a spirit of fear. He said, I'm giving you the power of love and a sound mind. That don't mean fear won't come. But when it does, what did I say? Smack it down. How many of you were here last week? Smack it down. Our ways cannot be different. Jesus knew Peter had a knife. What did he say? Put it away. He took the man's ear, put it right on his head. Isn't that something? Peter sliced it off. He said, okay, he having a moment. Hold on. Can you hear me? How many of y'all remember Ernest Angley? Baby. Huh? What am I saying? You got to know how to stick and move in this world. You know when fear is coming up on you. You can feel it. It's real. You cannot react to fear. You got to say, you know what? No, I'm not doing that because I had not considered that until this happened. That's how you know it ain't God. If you never considered this and you felt something and somebody had a conversation with you that pushed you into something you wasn't going to do, that's how you know that ain't the Holy Ghost. Well, they did it, so we going to do it. We need to be spirit-led and driven by the Holy Ghost. Last thing and I'm done. Notice, Jesus said, you need to be born again. And this is different than a lot of ministry we get today. This is radical ministry. Because in our world today, we don't have this kind of ministry. We got a lot of psychoanalytics, a lot of psychology, a lot of things. So you come and you sit down and you talk to me and I ask you, well, what's the problem? As if you're going to actually tell me. So based on what you tell me, then I have to call up scriptures based on that conversation. But when you spirit led and somebody sit down with you, you just let them talk. And then at some point, you go a whole nother way like Jesus did. He told that woman, go call your husband. Huh? That we weren't even talking about marriage. But because I'm spirit led, I know your issue. Go call him. Because I know you got the five. What, how many you had? Five. And this joker who you with now, he ain't yours either. Let's talk about that. Well, I got to go. But when you spirit led, you control that you control how it's going to come out if you listen to God. Here's what I'm asking you to do this week. Listen to God. When you're dealing with coworkers and your boss, take a moment and just listen. You ain't got to say nothing. Just listen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. You got any, you want to say anything? Not now. I ain't got nothing to say about it right now. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't have anything to say right now. But this is going to be hard for you if you always got to have the last word. Well, I'm just going to tell you my mind. Don't nobody want to hear your mind right now. And God's like, just shh. Not if it come to you, because this is a discipline. Tell somebody, I will only be spirit-led. Jump on your feet. I will only be spirit-led.